old should have a outline. Not Dane is coming around. If you don't have an outline, amen. You want one. Dane is coming around. Make sure everybody has one. Amen. All right, hold on to that. All right, got a few more over here now. All right, now, my brothers, I got other paperwork. Y'all think y'all excused in the morning?
Yeah.
The paperwork. Pass it out. Amen. And I'll explain what all the paperwork, once everybody gets it, we'll move forward with our work for today. Amen. Time looks pretty good. Give me a little bit more volume, I can tell you. Back. So I won't have to raise my voice too much. All right. As soon as we get everything handed out, it may not be enough, but if not, we can make other copies later on. It may not be enough for everybody. At least make sure every family has one. All right, now, the main thing I want you to look at is the one you had at first. Be sure that's what we're going to be on most of this morning. One you got it first. And also on the back of that is our scripture that we're going to read in a moment. The one you just been handed out, amen. Don't look at that one. That's basically what they did. That is too important for us. I'm only going to use a very little part of that. There's two important things on there. On the front of it, you'll see Bethsaida Baptist, eight core values. Those are the things we value. Amen. As a church, amen. Those are the things we value. And then the next three pages, because you got a page on the back and then two more pages. Those are what we call our Bibles, which is our statement of faith. This is what we believe. The first page is what we value. The next three pages is what we believe. Amen. We try to our best to live according to as God helps us. Amen. We've been having it about 3 days. I think I gave it to the deacon and to First Jen, but we was intending to give it to y'all a meeting, a business meeting a couple years back. But today I want to read this about something in our sermon. I'm going to refer to one of the beliefs here. So just, but don't be focused on this. Amen. Amen. Don't focus on this one. Amen. Until I tell you, because you'll be reading all I'm saying. You got all night and all day to rest your life. All right. So now let's get to the scripture. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And I said, so if you have the outline, it's on the back. You read it from the New King James Version. Stand if you can, in honor of God's word. It began, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
All right.
They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. As we get into our word for today. Our sermon for today is, don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe everything you hear. Let me begin this by sharing a story with you about a couple of young men. Couple of young men named Charlie and Walter. Charlie and Walter Ross. They were brothers. They lived in the 1870s. Amen. One day while their mom was away in another city tending to her ill oldest daughter, and Charlie and Walter were left at home with Dad. And as Dad was out working, remember this is in the 1870s, the boys were out playing in the yard, and a buggy came by. And they ran out to the buggy, and the guy on the buggy, the guys on the buggy, offered them candy. And they didn't take the candy that day. They had offered candy. It went on. Sort of went on. People moved on in the buggy. But then they told that to their father when their father got ride home. He said to them, don't take candy from strangers. All right. Later on, a few days had passed and they never saw the guy in the wagon anymore. 4th of July was fastly approaching. They wanted some firecrackers. You know how it is in 4th of July. But they wanted firecrackers. So they asked the daddy, can we have firecrackers? Because, you know, mama was at home and they were at home by themselves. The daddy did not want to give them firecrackers, period. He didn't want to burn the house down. So he decided he was going to give them, but he was going to give them the firecrackers the last day when he was off and he could supervise them. They waited on the fire. They really, really wanted some firecrackers so they can have a firework for the 4th of July. Well, as it happened, that buggy came through again. And the man stopped and called them over and said, hey, y'all want to get some firecrackers? And the boy wanted firecrackers so bad that day. They got in the buggy. And as they got in the buggy, went to the store selling firecrackers. And Walter, who was the older brother, they gave him the money and sent him in to get the firecrackers in the store. But when Walter came out, the buggy was gone. Good job. As the story goes, Walter was so upset he couldn't really explain to Dad what had happened. Because he was so traumatized that the brother was gone. He couldn't find him. Couldn't really get it out when Dad asked him where his brother was. But after he calmed down, he explained what had happened. But the guy that did see him in the story came out and the brother was gone. Dad and the community search tirelessly for Charlie. day after day, but they never found it.
They searched for those guys. They never found them. Until one day, there was a robbery. And amidst the robbery, the sheriff showed up, and he shot and killed one of the guys, the same guy who was on the body. And the other one left, wouldn't tell them where Charlie was. So they never found out where Charlie was. Their dad said, oh, if I would, could have just, you know, just given them a farm tractor, or all that they would have waited. But the one lasting memorial to Charlie's death was that phrase, don't take him from his family. In our text today, it's another father, a church father, an elderly man, because John was probably in his 80s, if not 90s at this time. And with the same heart that Charlie's father had for his kids, John tells the children that are part of the congregation he's writing to. And in all ways, John is basically saying similar things. Don't take candy from a stranger. But he puts it like this, basically, and we would say it like this today. Don't believe everything that you hear. That's what John is trying to really say to us in these verses that we're examining this morning. Be careful. Be careful who you allow to speak into your life.
That's real.
Don't believe everything that you hear.
Well, Pastor, why? And he goes on to share with us, why shouldn't we believe everything that we hear? And the first thing I want to say, the reason why we shouldn't believe everything we hear, is because there is a conflict going on. Look at your Bible. Blood, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit. In other words, don't believe everything you hear. But he says, don't believe every spirit. Y'all see that? He doesn't say it like I said, don't believe. Because basically what John is trying to share is there are some that are going to come and say things. But you got to realize behind everything that they speak, behind their words, is a spirit. Amen. Behind the words that they're going to speak. Now listen, there is a spirit. And you got to be careful because you can't see what's going on. But there are two kinds of spirits. There's the divine spirit, that's God and his spirit, especially in the person of the Holy Spirit, who speaks truth and speaks that which gives life. But then there's another spirit, a diabolical spirit. Diabolical means one that comes from the devil or Satan. There is a diabolical spirit that speaks lies. Behind everybody that speaks, because he spoke to a congregation, and he said, the congregation, don't think that everybody that stands before you is of the same spirit. Don't just listen to everybody that stands before you, because the people that stand before you and share and teach and preach and communicate within the fellowship, amen, there's going to be two kinds. Some that have been influenced and controlled by God's spirit. And then there are some that are being influenced and controlled by a diabolical, satanic spirit. Now, if you have your pens out, right there by where it says divine spirit, put John 14:16-17. That's St. John. That's not the one we own. John wrote about 5 books of the Bible. We're talking about the Gospel of John, chapter 14:16-17, so you can check that out. Because in that verse, he's called God's Spirit, he's called the Spirit of Truth. Now, look at number B on the one. That diabolical spirit in John 8:44, the diabolical spirit is called the father of lies. Satan is the father of lies. All lies originate in his spirit. And you know what Satan comes to do? According to John 10:10, he's called a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So you put those two verses together, and you find out that, amen, the reason why the Father lies, he uses deception, he uses error and lies in order to steal, kill, and destroy. And one of the main things he wants to steal, kill, and destroy is what we've been talking about in this series. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy us being able to live love as we experience the joy of an intimate fellowship with God. He don't want you to have an intimate fellowship. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So he uses his lies and his deception to steal, kill, and destroy that which we have with God. And John don't want us to lose it. So John says, don't believe everything you hear. Because some is going to come out of those that come before you, and those that come and say they are teachers, or preach to you, those that you listen to. Some will be influenced and guided by a diabolical spirit. The others will be influenced and guided by a divine spirit.
Yeah.
So, therefore, don't just believe everything here. We're going to share a little bit more about the context. Context of what was going on. Why John said this to this church? What was going on? Now, one thing, it wasn't a church like we have today in the church building, which really don't make no difference anyway, because people are lying in the church building too. But mainly back then they had houses. This is early when Christianity first began. They met in people's houses. Maybe if you had a large house, you might have 30 or 40 people in your house, and y'all sharing what the apostles had taught. Amen. All of the Bible had been written at this time. But the truth came through the apostles, through those who had walked with Jesus, 12, and other apostles that Jesus had called, like Paul. And the way you know the truth, apostles told, amen, leaders, and it spread orally what was taught. And they sent. Sometimes, like Paul would send Timothy, he would send Silas, or you would send people, because the apostles couldn't do it all, so they would send people that represent them to share. Either you would send people or you would send letters. Mm-hmm. Amen. To share the truth. So what would happen sometime in the house, somebody come to the house and say, hey, Mr. John sent me. And they begin to say, this is what John told me to share. Mm-hmm. It was the people saying, John sent him, or Paul sent him. And this is what they told me to share. And then Paul said, well, no. I haven't said anybody.
Right. All right.
And what they were sharing was not truth, but error. So John says, in this situation, be careful, because many false prophets have gone out. Amen. A prophet, just to remind you, prophet is those who speak. Sometimes they speak for God and tell you something that God wants you to know that's going to happen in the future.
Right.
Sometimes he warns you, if you don't turn around, it's going to happen in the future.
Right.
But also a prophet, sometimes it speaks for the truth. Mm-hmm. But a false prophet doesn't speak for the truth. A false prophet speaks for lies because he's under the influence of the father of lies, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. All right, let me read you one. I should have read this. Give me that set. Ephesians, I'm just going to read this. Ephesians 6 is already there. Ephesians 6:12. Why he said a conflict that went on in the country, but I was intending to read y'all this month, so I'm going to read that to you now. And the reason why I did outline this morning, because why we have to outline from time to time, is so you can check me out.
Amen.
And go back to, because I want you to learn, don't believe everything you hear. Even if it's from me, you have to be able to go back to the Bible.
Amen. Amen.
That's real.
In Ephesians 6:12, this is what it says. I told you it was a conflict, like a war, struggle. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places.
Yeah.
In other words, we, the believer, we are in a wrestling match. God's people are in a wrestling match with evil forces. The evil forces are trying to lead us astray. The evil forces are trying to steal, kill, and destroy by using deception and fake news. Amen. And that's how they did it. And the key person, the key people that lived in John's time, there's a difference in living our time, we'll talk about it in a second. But the key individuals that did it that lived in John's time were some people called the Gnostics. Or they would become. They weren't called the Gnostic in John's time, but they would later get that name, the Gnostic, which means to know. And what the Gnostic says is that the way you were saved was you were made privileged to a certain knowledge that nobody else knew. That's the way Gnostics say you were saved. You knew things that you were so special and privileged, you just knew things that nobody else knew, and that's how you got saved. They also, part of Gnosticism was, and how they call it Gnosticism, where they said that all flesh is evil and all spirit is good. That's what the Gnostics believe, and I'm going to show you why it's important at the moment. But that was not, that was the ones that were coming in. Amen. And I'm going to tell you a couple of things they believe in just a second. But those were the main ones, along with the Judaizers, who came in to the churches preaching these false and sharing and teaching these false ideas. But we have them in our day and time too, my brother. And sometimes they will say the same words.
Come on now.
They might say Christ, but you got to, they may not mean the same thing as when we say Christ.
Right.
You'll see them. Jehovah Witnesses. Mormons. Christian Scientists. And one of the new things is the Black Hebrew Israelites.
Right.
Amen. So you know they from the lost tribe of Israel. Basically what they're saying, to break it all down, is because, amen, that superior race. We are better. But you realize before there was a black Hebrew Israelite, there's also the British Israelite too. And British Israelite didn't say the same thing. We are the lost tribe of Israel. And because we are white and British, we are superior. So the British Israelite just said, we are superior. We are better. The black Hebrew Israelite said, we are better. And I say, I just want to be a better man. Well, that's what God does. Amen. God is, amen. I don't want to be better than another race. I just want to be a better man, better husband, better father. I want to be a better person. And that's what God, the God that we serve, is about. Not by being a better racially, but by being a better person. I want to be like him. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Christ. And that's what our leader, Jesus, and our God is about, making us better purpose. But now, be careful who you allow to speak into your life.
That's real.
Because Psalm 1 and 1.
That's real.
Y'all know Psalm 1 and 1.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all, I'm going to read it because I don't want to mess it up. Sometimes you think you've been doing it for so long, you'll say it wrong. I want to say it exact. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, you don't let ungodly folks speak in your life and you follow their ideas.
Right.
Not saying in the path of sinners. Don't listen to sinners either. And don't listen to folk that making fun of God.
Right.
Sit in the seat of the scornful. That's what people make. Don't let them kind of folk speak. Now you can't stop them from talking. But you can't stop listening.
That's real.
Yeah, let them say what they're going to say. Amen. But that don't mean you have to govern your life according to what they say.
Amen.
That's why I put Psalms 1 and 1. Because see, sometimes the ones that are the false prophets are not in a position as a pastor or a teacher or a Sunday school teacher. They're not in a position. They may just be a friend of yours. And sometimes when you relax or you listen to a friend of yours, and that friend of yours may be sharing something with you that's ungodly. Because a friend of yours can be influenced by the wrong spirit, just like an individual on a pulpit or behind a podium can be influenced by the wrong spirit. So you got to test even the spirits of your friend. So we got what we got. We got Jehovah's Witnesses, we got Mormons, we got Christian Scientists, and all the other cults. You got to be careful with friends there that are ungodly because they could be influencing by diabolical spirit. You also have the black Hebrew Israelites, and then you have the British Israelites. Of course, you got white supremacy, all these things. But that's not enough. But this is the one. You got to be careful in the areas I told you before of arts and education.
Amen.
Because Satan will use and the diabolical spirit will use art to capture your heart and use education to capture your imagination.
Right.
Because he's diabolical, he's the father. Satan been tripping up people and trapping folk for a long time. So you got to be careful because he'll use art to catch you in your heart and use education to catch your imagination, and he's got you. And therefore he can take you from that point, he can steal, kill, and
destroy.
You know, and all I'm really one of the main areas of the heart you gotta watch out for is the art that we see in the entertainment world.
Uh-huh.
Right.
The music we listen to.
Yeah.
Cause Satan's not going to shit his lies out with somebody they got a weak beat. Hey man, if you want folks to listen to your lie, you gotta
going to put a beast with the lie. Am I right?
Right.
But then when she won't pack you into the beast, and all of a sudden you step in the lie. Oh, yeah, that's good. You see it. You see it. Those that write plays, those that write for television and movies. Yeah. It's some idea that Satan wants to get out, and he doesn't use weak writers.
He
uses great writers who win Academy Awards and Emmy Awards because he wants the plot and the score and the conflict in the picture or entertainment that you're in to be so capturing to your imagination.
Right.
And so capturing your heart.
Right.
That he can change the values that you hear in the church. Don't believe anything. Because he's in all these places. And then not only up and down, you know, somebody got something they want to, lie they want to magnify. You don't need a pulpit, you don't need a television, you don't need a radio station. If you got a lie you want to magnify, you just start abroad.
Right.
I'll go on social media. You can get your lie on social media, on the blog, and we just listen, oh, yeah. And you listen to them, oh, yeah. I see what you're saying. Mm. No! Right. Don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe.
Right.
Test it.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Test it. Test everything. How do we test it? Number three. One of the main ways he said for us to test it is in three. You test it by looking at the content. Look at the content. Look at eight. Apostolic Christology. Christology means the knowledge of Christ. That's all it means. Learning about Christ. What we believe about Christ. What we know about Christ. Apostles are those people that God gifted at the beginning of the church to write doctrine so we'll know what was from God. He's so moved and had control of these people in their reading and writing that they wrote books and letters in the Bible, and we can trust those letters because God's Holy Spirit was so in control of them, he allowed them to write without error.
Yeah.
That's what we call inspiration. And you can trust it because it wasn't just the writer, but the one that was, that spirit that was behind the writer, allowing them to write and record truth without error. So you know, hey, if they said it, if the apostle said it, you can believe it. John, Peter, James, all the very Jude, all the writers, see what they wrote, inspired God. So you trust it. And the apostle. So, what did the apostles say about Christ? And that's why I want. That's the reason why I gave you, because I tried to capture, and we tried to capture what the apostles said about Christ in our beliefs.
Yeah.
So if you look at the beliefs on the page right behind where it says the core value on that page behind it. About three, the third belief down. Mm-hmm. It started out the Lord Jesus. Y'all see that?
Yeah.
Everybody there. Everybody. That's on. It's on thing with it. Even the rest of this stuff. And I make sure everybody knows with that. But this is one I want to tell you. This is what we believe, and the reason why we believe this as a church has been saved because we believe the apostles and the scripture. We got the verses down there for you. The apostles and the scripture. Amen. Says these things. The Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. Y'all see that?
Amen.
Eternal Son of God. In other words, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he didn't start. Amen. Eternal means no end. He was already, not the Jesus, the human Jesus, but the Son of God. The Son of God has existed through all time. That's why John in the first chapter says, in the beginning, was the Word.
Yes.
the Word was there already when everything else began. The Word is eternal. And then it said later on in that verse, I think by verse 18, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Okay? So the Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God, became man. He became flesh. Without ceasing to be God. When he became flesh, and when he was born of man, he didn't cease to be God. So now he's both fully God and fully man. Now, I want to tell y'all, y'all remember what I said about the Gnostics? Why would they have a problem with this? You remember what I told you, Mama? They said that all flesh is what? Evil. We don't believe that's right. All, they said all flesh is evil. And they said all spirit is good. So they said, You think we're going to believe that God, who is spirit, became flesh? And that went against everything that they taught. Because they said, flesh, you can't put them together. Either you flesh or you spirit. Without seeing God, he was supernaturally conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin. I know it's hard to believe in our today's modern world, but that's what happened. That's the historical fact. Amen. He was born of a virgin. In order that he might reveal God, when we look at Jesus, we see God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Fulfill prophecy and redeem sinful men. Because he lived a sinful life, he was never sinned. His death on the cross, a substitution. When he died on the cross, he was a substitute. Substitutionary sacrifice was the only satisfactory way, excuse me, for a sinful man to be reconciled to a perfect God. We believe our redemption and salvation are guaranteed by literal physical resurrection from the dead, and he is the only means of salvation. Let me break it down to the king. Because you're going to hear it all. You're going to keep hearing it as long as you've been here. But it said his death on the cross, he took our place on the cross. Because of our sin, God loves us so much. God is such a loving God, he says sin had to be paid for. That's why he didn't let it go. It's like somebody killed a relative of yours, and they were in court. And the judge said, no, I love that guy, just let him go. That'd be problematic, wouldn't it?
Right.
No, you think he wasn't just. And God is loving and just, so God can't let sin go. Sin had to be punished and paid for. When you sin, you have to pay for it. Now, you can pay for it yourself by living your eternity, an unending eternity, separated from God in a place of torment. Another way your sins can be paid for is Christ said, since I love you,
yeah,
I'll pay for them.
Yeah.
That's why he was our substitute.
Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord.
Because it should have been me on the cross.
Right.
Should have been all of us had our own cross.
Amen.
But Jesus, the Son of God, said, Let me tell you, y'all, nail me. Nail me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Rather than nail the rock, nail me.
Yeah.
I pay for what they've done. And every individual that put their trust in God, that's what he says.
Yeah.
I'll be your substitute. I'll pay the price for your sin. And that's the only way we believe that a person can be saved. You can't be saved by being good enough. Because it's going to take one sin to keep you out of heaven. Is anybody here? You don't have to raise your hand. But is there anybody here who have never in their whole life sinned once? I'm trying to, if you're here and you've never in your whole life sinned once, good. Do
even have to listen. You already read it, man. You don't even have to listen to Pastor Nick. But for everybody here who like me, who see at least one in their life, and are still struggling at the present moment with some sin in their life, then you need a Savior. You need a substitute. You need somebody that's going to pay for your sins. And that's what Jesus did. He came down. God's Son, who was in the beginning, came down, and the Holy Spirit put it in Mary's womb. They were born and came. The God became man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then he died on Calvary's cross for our sin. And the reason why you pick all of our sin, because he was God.
Right. Right.
He was that able enough to pay for all of our sin. That's why we are saved. If you see that last part, we believe our redemption salvation is guaranteed by his literal physical resurrection from the dead, and he's the only means of salvation. Amen. That's why we trust in. Anyway, when he rose, that means God, if God would not have accepted his sacrifice, now I'm not going to accept his sacrifice. He's been sealed there. But because he rose, God said, I accept the sacrifice. The resurrection is like, I told you before, like a receipt.
Yeah.
They say it's paid in full.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now, amen. Especially if you shop at Walmart. So I'm having problems. You need to hold on to your receipt. Because even though you're an innocent person, they ain't got no evidence, no proof why they stop and look in your bag. But they want to stop you at the door and treat you like a criminal, and you got to prove. And you got to receive. Amen. I bought it. So I never buy with one eye in Walmart. And I put it in my pocket. If it can't fit in my pocket, I don't buy it. Because I don't want nobody to treat me like I'm a criminal. I have problems with Walmart. I'm sorry. I got But y'all understand the key thing is when you talk about apostolic Christology. That says, this is basically what it says, that God's Son, the Son of God, became you, became flesh, became a human being, lived a sinless life, died for us on Calvary, and then he rose again on the third day after this. And by could not trust in him, we could be saved. Now the Gnostics say, that's not the way you can be saved. You be saved because you know more, because you get this special revelation of knowledge, and you know certain things, everybody knows what saves you. Jesus was good. What happened? They said, what happened to Jesus? Once he was baptized, Spirit came upon him, Christ came in, and God with him for a while. He's the best man ever lived, best teacher, best prophet. But then just before he died, the Spirit left him, and God went back, and then he just was born. Wow. They died like everybody else. You can't be the world. But see, I can't have fellowship with somebody that's dead.
Right.
I got to have fellowship with somebody that's risen.
Right.
And he's in heaven, and he can listen to me because God knows everything. So he can even hear me when I pray down there, and I can have fellowship with the Father, the Son, or the Spirit here. So that's the content. What does you always ask this person that's speaking in your life, what do they believe about Christ? Do they believe Christ was God's Son? Do they believe that God's Son became a human being? Do they believe that a human being who had God in him died for them on a cross? And do they believe he rose on the third day? Yeah. And that's what, see,
Gnostics didn't believe that. A lot of them quoted children said, John sent me. They didn't believe in that. A lot of them children said, Paul sent me. They didn't believe in him enough. He didn't die for his sins, and he rose again, then he trusted. Now, Judaism said, You still got to do some more stuff. You got to be circumcised. So I'm really glad that that wasn't true. But if you was a Gentile like us, and you were an older person, that might not have been a good thing. Listen. So that's what this text. Now, the Gnostics, like I said, they had a different gospel. So listen to what people, if you and somebody come by your house and knock on the door, don't open it. Don't open it. But, because they may have a Bible that reads differently. Our Bible, the King James, all in Greek, is what basically in Greek says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. There's nothing called the New World Translation, which is the Bible used by Jehovah's Witnesses, which is most likely the person stopped by your house. They won't say that. They'll say in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was a God. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking for the end, he was a God that was created later. Because God ourselves equal with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Right.
They've never been created, they've always been. He's not, Jesus has not been created because he created everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He was the Word, and Word was God. And then later on in that verse says, all things were created by him. Now, if everything was created by him, and you can't create yourself.
Come on now. Right.
But it said everything was created by him. And you can't create yourself. He's always existed. And everything that was created, he created it.
Yes.
Yes. That's what we believe. That's what we believe, that's what we've been teaching here, you hear. I don't care what all these new modern ideas come, we will still teach Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible.
Right.
So that's what we believe. That's the one that saved us.
Amen.
Yeah. That's the one that made us. But not only that, let me go move on and finish this thing. Now go back to your regular outline. We looked at apostolic Christology and Gnostic Christology. And also if you want to look at Old Testament, they had false prophets in the Old Testament. This is what they say in the Old Testament. Number one in the Old Testament, I'm going to give you the scripture. Number one in the Old Testament, if you prophesied and it didn't come true, you get yourself stoned. But then, they're kind of hard on false prophets in the Old Testament. You're going to get yourself stoned. But now, it also says in Deuteronomy, if you want to write this verse, Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 6. Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 6. It said, now if you got a prophet and he goes out doing miracles, he said, oh yeah, he really a prophet. He's doing the miracles, the signs, the wonders. But then that prophet tell you, let's go and follow other gods.
No.
He said, he's not a real prophet. But a real prophet, that's what idolatry is. A real prophet won't tell you to follow other gods. He'll just tell you there's only one. And you need to follow him. That's the way it was in the Old Testament. So I want to throw that in also. Number four. Let's read verse. Let's come from verse four. I don't know. I'm going to turn my page. All right, here we go. You are of God, little children. Y'all been born again. Y'all of God, God has done something in your life and have overcome them, which I use conqueror. Because when you overcome, you're a conqueror. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
Yeah.
Every believer has the Holy Spirit. It's in that next paragraph, but I don't want you to look at that next paragraph now. We get home and read scriptures there. But there's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person.
That does not mean, when I say person, it don't mean he's human, but that means he had three things that make him a person. He thinks, he feels, he makes decisions. The Holy Spirit is God that lives inside of us. He built all three of those things. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit inside of, he lives inside of every believer. Yeah. Listen what happens. We're comforted because of him. Because when you are a believer and the Holy Spirit lives inside, you can listen to some stuff and you say, you can't put your hand on it. Because it might be something you ain't even learned yet. Something don't sound right about that. I don't know about that. And then he puts you in a body of believers where you got teachers and pastors and other more mature believers who you can take those concerns to.
Break it down.
Until you get to the truth.
Yeah.
That's why they were able to overcome. Because when those false people come and say, hey, you know, this is what we believe in. Now, come on now, come on with us. Come on. It's like that sheep, the wolf that was dressed in sheep clothing. He showed up in the herd, what y'all heard about. He showed up. Hanging out with him because he's a wolf and sheep clothing. Pretty soon, one family of the sheep came up missing. A couple more days passed. Another family of the sheep came up missing. 3 or 4 more days. Pretty soon, the herd was getting smaller. Because there, it wasn't a sheep. It was a wolf.
Yeah.
We came to steal, kill, and have dessert. And that's why we came this way. Amen. You have to be careful. Don't believe everything you hear. Be like the Bereans. The Bereans heard Paul, and they went back to the scripture.
Right.
Make sure that what they heard was true. And why I said, when you hear me, go back to the scripture. And why I'm being honest, you can go back to the scripture and look it up yourself.
Yes.
And see if what I'm saying is true. Yes. You have a problem with that.
Yeah.
They say, like you said, I'm kind of explaining where I'm coming from. But I think most of the time it's pretty evident. But the Holy Spirit will make your congregation. I told y'all a few weeks ago my experience when I first became a Christian and I had to listen to the Nation of Islam. I didn't know a whole lot about Christianity. I did study my Bible pretty much, but I was a new Christian. But something in my spirit said, something ain't right about this. Something just ain't right. Amen. About what they were saying in heaven. And I came out a conqueror. And especially if you're in the Word. Because what will happen when you hear something false, it says the Spirit will bring it back to your remembrance.
Right.
But now if you ain't never remembered the first. Listen, it says the Spirit will bring back stuff to your remembrance.
Yeah. Right.
But if you ain't never been in the Bible to remember it, how's it going to bring it back?
Yeah.
If you ain't never read it, you ain't never heard it, and then you listen to somebody that's not telling the truth, how are you going to bring it back? You ain't got to be able to remember. But once you've been in the truth, you know, you've been coming Sunday morning, and then you've been in the Bible, your own self, don't depend on what happened here at church.
Right.
You got to be in the Bible, your own self. So you spend time in the Bible, your own self, and then maybe you come to a man's Bible study, or woman's Bible study, or the Wednesday evening Bible study. We got a whole lot of Bible studies. And then we got Sunday school, we do the Bible study. We got enough Bible here. If you just hang around a little while, you ought to know enough about the Bible that when you hear something false, Because he's going to bring back to your memory something that contradicts what the person said. And sometimes the person might even be preaching and say something, and you'll say, you know better than to say amen. Unless you got ass meat, sometimes I know y'all be fully in there, y'all just kind of fake. And somebody say something, you're not really believing. Yeah, amen. You got to be careful. Everybody say, Jesus went back to heaven in a spaceship. Amen, preacher. Because you were happy. Who said this? Why did I make it that way? Why did I make it You got to be awake. But if you're awake, you're going to say something. See, sometimes even when I'm there sitting on my
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, amen. I'm trying something to say.
Lord bless.
Well, let's see.
Make it money. Make it money.
Hear the Lord.
Every
Oh, you're trying to be hospitable. Amen. People get you trying to be hospitable. Amen. But y'all understand what I'm saying? We're more than conquerors. Now, let me go and close this thing out. The last one is the congregation. You can tell by the congregation. That means who listens to them. Look, another way you tell about people that are being influenced, what spirit they've been, if they've been influenced by the Spirit of God or the spirit of Satan, or the demonic, diabolical spirit, is their congregation.
That's true.
Because godly, if a person is speaking truth from God, the congregation that's listening to them becomes God. Mm-hmm. And they love the things of God. And they try to live their lives in a godly way. Yeah. Right? But the ones that are listening to the lies of the enemy, they are comfortable living in their sin. Mm-hmm. Like that Gnostic said, all spirit is good, all flesh is evil. But that meant, that's true. You can be good because your spirit is good. And you can use your body because your body is supposed to be evil. So just go ahead and do evil. Go ahead. Lie as much as you want to lie. Gossip as much as you want to gossip. Amen. Drink what you want to drink. Smoke what you want to sleep with who you want to sleep with. It's all the body's evil anyway. Steal what you want to steal. The body's evil anyway. Kill who you want to kill. The body's evil. You can't expect no one but the body's evil. But even while you're doing all that, if your spirit is in the right place, you're all right with God.
No.
So a person who doesn't want to live their life like they want to live it, they say this is a Gnostic. I like that Gnostic word. I don't have to trade up nothing. I can keep living like I want to live, do what I want to do, because everything I do in the body don't count. Only what I do in the spirit.
My Lord.
But the godly word says, hey, God governs. His word governs us.
Yeah.
See, spiritual people, they got a high view of scripture. They hold the scripture high. And they're willing to put their lives upon and live their life like the Bible says.
Yes.
But now, that's the way the God to do. But now the word, they got the Bible. They just throw the Bible. They just step all over the Bible. Every way they need of their life.
Yeah, preacher.
Like the Bible don't exist. Mm. Every once in a while they might look in. When they get into a good deal,
come on.
They'll use it. Amen. If I get into the Bible a little bit, I can get out a little quick, cut some of my time off. Y'all want to tell you the truth, right? Cut some of my time off. You in there, you come to every time, preaching, and you come out. But soon, as your doors open, and you get out, and the trash can is outside the gate. You
Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's real.
But we believe the Bible is God's word and His spirit.
Yes. Right.
Everything is in that Bible, the Holy Spirit inspired it and gave us writers those ideas. It didn't think back and say, oh, let me write this down. No, there were men that were moved by God's Spirit and controlled by God's Spirit, and they wrote it without error. So we believe in that. So what congregation? If you want to look at the people you're listening to, and sue us to listen to them, and look at their lifestyle. If the people you listen, I'm not talking about, when I say congregation, I'm not talking about like a church congregation. I'm talking about just a group of folks that listen to them. If you listen to somebody, and everybody that listens to them is strung out on drugs, disrespectful to women, getting DUIs, stealing, robbing. Why would you listen to that person if everybody listens to them? You want to listen to people. You got a congregation that says, I want to hear from God tonight. If I'm choosing somebody to mentor me, help me through life, yeah. I want to choose somebody who maybe I've mentored other people, and I can see that person like, wow, that guy there, when I live their life, they remind me of Christ. And they remind me of how great my God is.
Yes.
How wonderful my God is. So, who mentored you? I like that. Because you like that, like, I want to be like that. Sometimes you can tell by the congregation. Because it's in that. And so, that, you know what that means in closing? That means when you live for God, I mean, when you all out, surrendered, totally living for God. And you might try to share it with one of your co-workers. The Bible just told you. They're not going to listen. They're not going to listen.
That's right.
They're not going to listen because they're not God. If you're into God and God is influencing you, God is influencing your whole life. Their whole life has been influenced by the diabolical spirit. They're not going to listen to what you say. Do that mean you give up? No, you pray and you live an example before them.
Yeah.
And you try to show them because they've been influenced by hell. You've been influenced by heaven. You try to show hell what hell looks like.
Right.
Yeah. All
right.
Oh, I told you. That's what happened. You remember, and this is what I'm closing with. You remember the rich man who had the poor man that stood, Lazarus that stood out by the gate, didn't have anything, poor dog licked his soul because his body had sores. He just wondered about the rich man, hey, listen here, man, I'm a little hungry. I don't want the delicates on your table. You don't have to bring me out to realize.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't have to bring me out to bed, but just give me the crumbs that fall from your table. And the rich man, because his heart was so hard, would he bring the crumbs out? But it's saying in the Bible that both of them died.
Yeah, both of them died.
Yeah.
And here was Lazarus in hell. Called in the bosom of Abraham, the symbolism. He was in hell. And then the rich man was in hell. And he looked over and said, Lazarus.
Yeah.
Now he never had called that with something about the gate. But now all of a sudden he knows his name. Lazarus, will you dip the tip of your face in some water and come over to me? Because I've been tormented. And just, you don't have to bring your glass. You need to clean your head. That dip the tip of your finger in it and cool my tongue.
Yeah.
Because the rich man was in hell and he saw what heaven looked like. I'm trying to tell you that's your job. Because every day on your job, in your neighborhood, folk are living a you go through some things, still say, amen, still say a certain Christian. I still see that Christian attitude and atmosphere around you. I know you've been through some heartache. I know you've been through some pain, cover, but you still kind of keep it together. I can't keep, look at my, look at, this is going wrong, that's going wrong, this is going wrong. You've been the same thing, but I don't know how you made it.
Yeah.
You go, well, you know, I didn't make it by myself.
There you go.
I didn't make it by myself. One day I heard about a man.
Yeah.
Oh, I was had a witness.
Come on.
I heard about a man named Jesus.
Come on.
Hallelujah. I was at church and they told me about Jesus would change my life and fill my heart and make me a new creature. And I accepted him in his life. They told me he died on a cross for my sin, paid for sin. And if I just trusted him, he'd give me eternal life. And I could live with him forever. And I made up in my mind. I was going to be a follower of Jesus that day.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, ever since that day, I've had some hard times, and I've had some good times.
Yeah.
I've had some ups, and I've had some downs.
Yeah.
Amen. I've had some sunshine, and I've had some rain.
Yeah.
I seem like it's just working together for good.
Yeah.
Hey, everything I've been through,
yeah,
he said, use it for my good.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You know how I made it? Because he sat by me.
Yeah.
Sometimes, when I got too tired to make it,
oh,
and I couldn't walk no further, he carried me. He carried me through my struggle. He carried me through my heartache. He carried you. When you can't take it by yourself, take it by yourself. Somebody here today, you may be saying that same thing. How can I meet that same Jesus that can carry me through my heartache, my pain, my struggle?
My God, my God.
What we're going to do just a second, some Jesus is going to come. And I want to tell you, there's some connection counselors for some counselors going to come up here.
Jesus.
And if you want to connect with God, you want to connect with that same Jesus, or connect with this church, they can be like a corner man to you when you get beat up by the enemy. We'll be here.
Yes.
They'll pray with you.
Yes.
They'll pray for you. They'll connect with you.
Yes.
Whatever you need
definitely
them to do.
Definitely.
As these four stand here,
Jesus,
I pray,
Jesus,
that you would come.
Thank you, Lord God.
Make the connection God today. Okay, I'm making time. The Spirit, something in that Holy Spirit, maybe you now say, ma'am, this is your time. Sir, this is your time. This is your time this morning. That's God's Spirit. That's God's Spirit. Because the diabolical Spirit is not going to tell you to come change. Get your life changed. Get God in your life. Make your life better. Become a better man, better woman. Better husband, better wife, better child. God's Spirit will tell you that, but the diabolical Spirit won't tell you. So if you hear that, that's God's Spirit. Now, if you hear another spirit saying, oh, got time. Thank you. Maybe next week we got
there.
Are you doing all right? You're pretty good person.
Jesus, Jesus.
God made that you in. You're pretty good person. That's a lie. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So, as a musician, give a song as all of us stand. But we want to stand, but when you stand, come. We don't want you to feel alone. We say, we're standing with you. So as the congregation, all that will stand.
Today your name is this hour, your hour.